Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Geomologist Presents. I'm here with my wife, Amy.
Hello.
And this is number 7 in our continuing series of the top 10 Westerns according to IMBD. Now, this might change here and there, and we definitely have some honorable mentions that we will get to after we do the top 10. But this is top 10. I don't know what a 10 is. But this is number 7. And today's movie is Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid from 1969. It is the iconic American Western buddy film, and it's directed by George Rahill and written by William Goldman. All right. I thought Amy was going to introduce the cast, but I will. So, of course, it has famous people in the cast. You can see them on both our backgrounds here. They are Butch Cassidy, who's played by Paul Newman, and his partner is Harry Longbaugh, the Sundance Kid, who's played by Robert Redford, both Academy Award-winning actors. Yes. So there is also a very third principal actor, and that is Catherine Ross, and she plays Etta Pace, who is Sundance. So she's Henry Longbaugh's lover, and she is important in the film as well. Other notables are Strother Martin, Jeff Corey, and Henry Jones. So Strother Martin plays Percy Garris. Henry Jones is the bike salesman, who's also a tavern keeper, and Jeff Corey is Sheriff Bledsoe. These are people that harass them throughout their career. I believe, let's see, yes. So yeah. Oh yeah, there's, and also Ted Cassidy as Harvey Logan is an important character as well. So what's different about this movie from other movies? Well, before we get into that,
yeah, I was going to say, let me interrupt you there for a second, because I think I hear the phone ringing.
That's right. Yes, we do have a call-in. So we'll play that call-in and answer it, and then jump into the movie. Absolutely. This call is from Joe Richter of Hindsightless Podcast, and Wheel or Woe, the now defunct but still very popular first Pathfinder 2 podcast and YouTube play. All right.
Hey, Carl and Amy, just finished listening to your latest review of the Western movies. This one was Once Upon a Time in the West, I think that was the title. But yeah, man, first off, Amy, you don't need to apologize for not liking a movie, right? Like, no one's under any obligations to not like any of these movies. But I wanted to touch on something you guys were talking about earlier with intermissions coming back. Yes, please bring back intermissions. I recently saw Dune Part 2 in the theaters, and that one's like 2 hours and 45 minutes long, and I totally had to get up and pee halfway through the movie. Luckily, I know enough about the story and the movie and everything, so it was fine, but it would have been nice if there was a break, because yeah, that was just, it's a long movie. But the reviews are great. I really enjoy them, because I haven't seen many of these movies. I've never been a big Western fan. You know, I love Tombstone. That's my favorite Western movie. And yeah, man, keep it up. It's awesome. And it's, you know, it's given me some inspiration to maybe watch some of these movies. Though, not this one. This one, yeah, no thanks. Anyway, you guys take it easy. Have a good one. And I'll talk to you both soon. Peace out.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Joe Richter. What do you think, Amy?
I agree. I don't feel like I should have to apologize for not liking a movie, but I feel bad because those people did their best at that movie, and for some reason it was on this list.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like after The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and the other two in the sort of trilogy that Sergio Leone did, that Once Upon a Time in the West almost mailed it in. I don't know. There's something, the chemistry wasn't working. It was too long, too many annoying noises. But the story was kind of very interesting. It just, it could have done it better, I think.
Definitely could have done it better.
And we mentioned intermission because it was so long, and it could have been cut out, and things could have been cut out and stuff like that. I did enjoy Dune. I will say I did enjoy the Dune movie. It was
Dune was
also very
great.
long,
I
but
really enjoyed it. Great special effects. If you haven't seen it, you should go.
I think my only comment on Dune is I feel they left out some key points about and in through the movie. They wanted to focus the I guess Daniel Villanueva wanted to focus on different aspects of the story. I think there was a lot of focus on Chani and making her sort of more contentious than she was in the book, but that's probably good, I think. I'm upset that they left out Tufir Hawat, who was the Mentat from House Atreides, who did not
Well, we don't
die.
want to spoil Dune for them.
Oh, that's true. I mean, the book has been out since like the 60s. Read the
Yes, I know,
book.
but the movie hasn't been out since the 60s.
Read the book. Anyway, all right, enough
We
of Dune.
always
So
read a
speaking
book.
of, well, thank you so much again, Joe.
We
So
always appreciate your calls.
I love how Joe is like a straight shooter, and he always gives us some nice TMI in the movie, you know, his bladder issues notwithstanding. All right. So again, thank you, Joe. Keep those calls coming. It's great to have an intro call when we do these. And yeah, I think and I think it's good. It's nice that we are contrasting, not contrasting. It's nice that we are doing this movie after Once Upon a Time in the West, because this buddy cop movie, it's a 1 hour and 10 or 110 minute runtime. That's an hour and 20 minutes. That's a good time. That's a good time. And it does really clip pretty well. There's a
It
few.
goes really fast, and the cinematography is gorgeous. And although it's not historically accurate in a lot of places,
But it's based on history, Amy.
based on it loosely.
Yeah, maybe. So according to William Goldman, I guess is based loosely on fact. So it talks about these outlaws, Robert Leroy Parker, Butch Cassidy, and Harry Longbottle, the Sundance Kid. So and it really tells sort of the end of their about the end of their career, right? So we and the other interesting thing, is that it takes place not really in the heart of the Old West. It takes place at towards the end of the Old West. It takes place in 1899, which again is interesting and a little different. Much like the first movie we reviewed, which we still think is more of a film noir horror as opposed to a Western. But hey, it's on the list. That was
Just
Treasure of Sierra Madre.
an interesting side note, since we got distracted on me telling you it's loosely based.
Yeah.
I was actually watching a show where they went and investigated Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid and several of the other posse members that allegedly went with him, that they had the big shootout. They
Yeah.
never were able to locate their bodies.
Right.
And there's actually some evidence that they weren't even in that gun battle.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And
So the ending of the movie is open for interpretation, just like the end of their lives are kind of open for interpretation.
So William Goldman, you will know for a lot of stuff, really. So he wrote The Princess Bride, All the President's Men. He's done also a lot of novel writing. He's won awards. We'll get to some of those awards soon because he did get an award for Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. So you know William Goldman's work, other well-known, well, his fantasy novel is The Princess Bride, and his thriller novel, Marathon Man, is a cult classic. So he is a very interesting man. He fought in the Korean War, so that's pretty interesting to me as well. So all right, so this movie, are we gonna t we talked about the cast already. I don't think Paul Newman and Robert Redford, they don't really need an introduction. Catherine Ross, you would recognize her from Shenandoah. She was Elaine Robinson in The Graduate. So yep, that's pretty cool. It's interesting. So she's pretty notable. She had a leading role in the horror film The Stepford Wives, the 1975 version, and she won a Saturn Award for Best Actress in that one. So she was also in other horror films, supernatural horror films, The Legacy and The Final Countdown. I guess The Graduate is kind of a horror film if you're poor Elaine Robinson. So anyway, yeah, so definitely a supporting actor role, and she actually won in the for the she didn't Wow, she won. She has not won an Academy Award, though she was nominated, but she did win a British Academy Award for Butch and Sundance. And she also won a Golden Globe for both The Graduate and The Voyage of the Damned. So, and Stepford Wives, like we mentioned. So she is a pretty notable actor as well. The other actors, Strother Martin, you've seen him in a lot of stuff. He's another one of those supporting actors. He was also with Paul Newman in Cool Hand Luke, to play the warden. And let's see, who else we mentioned? We mentioned Henry Jones. He's also one of those actors that you see in a lot of these movies around that time in the 60s and 70s. Jeff Corey as Sheriff Bledsoe. I think his most notable is Butch in Sundance, and he had some personal tragedy in his life. And then lastly, Ted Cassidy is Harvey Logan, and he was I think he was that's interesting. I didn't know this. This is kind of an interesting tidbit on Ted Cassidy. He was the narrator in the Incredible Hulk TV show. He played unusual characters, bit parts in unusual characters in both Star Trek and I Dream of Jeannie in the 70s. Mostly television actor. But yeah, has got a lot of stuff, a lot of credits in the various things. So mostly, like I said, television. So, all right. Amy is going to talk about this movie. Did really well in the box office. It was a top grossing film in 1969 at 102, 100 million, and it was only a budget of 6 million, which is crazy because there are a lot of like on-site scenes and a lot of stuff. I definitely know where they cut the film. They probably had filmed certain of those parts, where they have the montage in the middle of the movie or so. It's almost like an intermission, right? They have like a montage, and then they're in South America suddenly. But they probably filmed all that stuff and then they just cut it, But so, Amy, you're going to
Possibly.
talk about they did really well at the Academy Awards.
Well, they were nominated for seven and won four, which I think is wonderful because some movies get nominated for a bunch and win nothing. But they did win in 1970, the best writing story and screenplay based on material not previously published, and that was William Goldman. And ironically, he was not present at the Academy Awards to receive it. Katharine Ross actually accepted his award for him.
Nice. Well, because she was nominated for best supporting actor, so actress.
Correct. And then they won, well, Conrad Hall won for best cinematography, which incredible cinematography in that movie, all the way around. They won for best music original song, Bert, and I'm gonna butcher his last name. I'm so sorry, Baccarat and Hal David for
Yeah.
Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head.
Yeah, and they
And
also.
then
Go ahead.
they also won for best music original score for the motion picture itself, and that was Bert Baccarat. I apologize for the name.
They also won for best sound, so there you go. I guess the gunshot sounds were very authentic. I don't know, but I know you know the song, and if we sing it, you'll have it as an earworm for the whole week. That's Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head.
But we're not really allowed to sing it.
Right. So it was a single. It was written by Burt Bacharach and Hal David and sung by B.J. Thomas. So that's pretty cool. Yeah,
All
we
you
are.
have to do is throw that into any Google and it'll come right up. And ironically, I wonder if you were to Google it now, if it just comes up to that portion of the movie.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. So this is great. So Butch and Sundance. Like I mentioned, it starts in 1899, Wyoming. Butch Cassidy is a clever outlaw of this gang called the Hole in the Wall Gang. Oh, wait, I have one more little tidbit. We mentioned the screenplay. So this is pretty interesting, how William Goldman first came across the story of Butch Cassidy. And he came across it in a famous line by Scott Fitzgerald, who is one of his heroes. And he said that there is no second acts in American lives. When I read about Cassidy and Longbaugh and the super posse coming after them, that's phenomenal material. They ran to South America lived there for 8 years, and that was what thrilled me. They had a second act. They were more legendary in South America than they were in the Old West. It's a great story. Those two guys and that pretty girl going down to South America and all that stuff. It seems a wonderful piece of material. So William Goldman did like 8 years of research intermittently while looking into this research and developing the screenplay. So yeah, that's pretty cool.
So you know what one of my favorite things about Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid
What's that?
is the humor that's spread around in it.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's not, I mean, it definitely is a serious film, but there is a lot of humor sprinkled. I mean, from Butch Cassidy, real name, Robert Leroy Parker, even that name is funny. He, he's clever, right? He tries to talk, right? He when Henry Logan challenged him for the gang's leadership, he gets into him with a knife fight and he defeats him using trickery, right? Not skills, but trickery, right? And I think their downfall is like this continuing series of train robberies that they participate in. And the first half of the movie really talks about this. They have a great first train robbery. And then and they have this like hideout that they go to, and the marshal tries to organize a posse, but the whole town has been, because like these guys are funny and smart and clever. They're kind of they give to they're very generous with their money, at least Cassidy and Longbaugh are. And they have like a hideout of people that really will protect them. So then when they do the second train robbery, there's a lot of damage, right? It doesn't go well, right? Yeah, they use too much dynamite to blow the safe, demolish the baggage, money goes everywhere. And this time I think they're ready for them. I don't think it is the infamous Pinkertons, but a second train arrives carrying a six-man team of lawmen, and then they pursue them. And they try to get amnesty and all this kind of stuff. So yeah, so then they're really harassed. Most of the movie, there's kind of like cat and mouse, and they're harassed by these guys. And they even re recruit a famous tracker named Lord Baltimore and another mercenary to find these guys. So, there's that famous scene, right, where they're being pursued. The teams got broken up. And actually, they kind of elude them, and they jump into on the from the cliff into the river far below. And then they learn from Etta that the posse has been paid by the Union Pacific itself, the head of the Union Pacific, to make sure that they are pursued until they're both dead. So then, yeah, then you have this strange montage after that. What did you think of that, Amy?
It was okay. I
Right, because they
mean,
do have a lot of money,
they do have a lot of money. They had
despite
a
their
lot of
setbacks.
money. They also spent a lot of money. And historically, they wasted a lot of the money.
They're definitely very free with their money. It definitely is shown in the movie that that happens. And then we get, like I said, we get this montage where they go and they party it up on the East Coast, and they decide they want to go, from the West to the East Coast. They're there in Philadelphia and New York and all that kind of stuff. And then they eventually decide to go to Bolivia, to South America, which, Cassidy convinces both Sundance and Place that this is a robber's paradise.
And that's home of my favorite quote where Percy says, "Morons, I've got morons on my team. Nobody is going to rob us going down the mountain. We ain't got no money going down the mountain. When we have the money on the way back, then you can sweat."
Yep, that's great. So, I mean, this is probably to me where it kind of slows down a little bit, where they try to go straight and they really don't like the conditions down there. Sundance regards the country with contempt. Cassidy tries to be optimistic. They don't go straight though. They become Bank robbers, they come known as Los Bandidos Yankees. And but then the posse is still after them. Right? The man with the white skimmer is still after them.
Always
So,
after him.
right? So that's crazy, right? The guys won't stop. So then they try to go straight. They take an honest job as payroll guards, but then they're ambushed by local bandits because here's banditry. And their boss is killed. They kill the bandits. And actually, it's crazy. So this is crazy to learn that this is Cassidy. He fought, got in a knife fight, but he never really killed anyone with the gun. And it's the first time he did. So it's pretty interesting how, the sort of evolution of this character and his revelations that you still get towards the end. So they do conclude that the straight life is not for them, and they want to, they feel like they want to return to robbery, but this bothers Etta, and she decides to return to the US. And I think she moved back to San Francisco and lived out her life there, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, I think her nickname was the Nose or something like that in real
No,
life.
I thought that, what was it? Was she the nose? I thought that was Doc Holliday's.
I thought she was the Nose. I don't know. We history, we can trace where she is. We can't, we lose track of Butch and Cass, just lose track of them. And like I said, they never did find their bodies. And allegedly, the bodies that were Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid in Bolivia, when they checked it later on, meaning many, many years later with DNA, I believe it came up that it was not them. Because if I'm not correct, when they would kill outlaws like that, they would photograph them and then put it up so people knew that they had captured them and eliminated them.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't believe they ever had a picture.
No. So, yeah, they're actually called Butch Cassidy's Wild Bunch. I guess in real life, but they call themselves the Hole in the Wall Gang in the movie. But the Pinkertons described Etta Place, I'm looking at the wiki, as classic good looks, 27 or 28, 5'4 to 5'5, medium build with brown hair. And then there's all sorts of theories of what happened to her after. So apparently, let me see.
Well, I think she was
Yeah,
a
they have a
school
whole fact. They
teacher.
have a whole timeline, actually,
Yeah.
because more is known about her than actually, right? So by, yeah. So like, so they lose track. But so in 1909, a woman matching Place's description attempts to obtain a death certificate following Longbaugh's death, so she can settle his estate, but then she disappears. And then the Pinkertons decide not to pursue, right? So in 1907, she is living in San Francisco. And then she had returned from, in 1905, she had re left Bolivia by way, sold the ranch that they had in ranch that they had in Argentina, and then sailed to San Francisco. So yeah, that's pretty interesting. And there's other, she must have changed her name or something. Because as late as 1922, apparently she was spotted or in Argentina, and then another report says that she was around in 1966. So that is a very interesting riddle, in Western history. But so they go bad. I thought that was a cool little sidetrack about Etta Place. Again, I think Catherine Ross did a fantastic job of playing her in this movie. So they go bad, Amy.
Well, that was kind of a foregone conclusion, especially if you look at the movie poster.
Yeah. And that's what I have in the background here. So they steal a payroll, use a burro to carry it. They rob in a small town. Then, unfortunately, almost like a homage to Treasure of the Sierra Madre, a boy recognizes the branding on the animal and alerts the police. And this leads to a big gunfight. Cassidy has to make a desperate run to get the ammo. Sundance provides cover, and they're both wounded, and they take cover inside the building. And then Cassidy, still ever the optimist, jokes that they should just move to Australia. But then, unfortunately, the local police have called in the Bolivian army. So then they have no choice, right? Surrounded.
Absolutely. You know what I learned from this?
But.
If I'm ever in a gunfight, bring a few extra magazines.
Right, that's true. So the pair charge out of the building. This is a famous scene that freeze frames. I think that must have been popular around that time. So I recently did another movie where they freeze frame at the end, and the ending is sort of vague. But in this one, it seems like they charge out of the building, guns blazing, but into a hail of bullets. They just go, they hear the rat tat 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 of the automatic weapons fire or the guns. I don't think they had automatic weapons at that in 1905. The film
They double
ends,
tap.
I don't
They
think
could
so.
double tap.
Yeah. The film ends with the sound of gunfire, and then they freeze frame the two bandits coming out, which is the picture I have in the background there. So, again, all in all, I thought it was a really good movie. I didn't think I would like it. I don't know why I didn't think I would like it. Maybe because I'd seen it before in a different frame of mind. I was like, oh, it's so boring. But it does have a lot going on. The bicycle riding scene, the raindrops keep falling on my head song, that's used as a touchstone throughout. I really enjoyed it. So, but some people, of course, don't like the that was kind of not a Western tone film.
Well, I
Even
mean, it's not the Wild West, but it is Western toned. I
yeah, it
mean,
just
bank robberies, that's Old West. I don't know. I mean, it was a beautiful bank. I don't know why they had to tear it, or what is it? I don't know why they had to tear it down, and they told them that it's because people kept robbing it.
Yep, there you go. Yeah,
There's a
so
lot of memorable quotes from it, but it's a great movie.
yeah, it's a really really enjoyable film. I really liked it. It's a good step up from the last one that we did.
Definitely. This one definitely gets a 9 out of 10 out of me.
Yeah, and
And
it's one to
I would let
watch
the kids
again and
watch it.
again. It's one to watch again and again, I think, too, because you can always go and pick out those memorable quotes. So I guess we could, Amy mentioned one.
A couple of them. There's a lot of different quotes in here, and a lot of them are more along the lines of conversations rather
Yeah.
than just quotes. But I mean, I just think it's a lot of fun. And I would think, as far as a gaming module, the most fun would be at the very end when they're in Bolivia and they're trying to come out. And well, I mean, I guess the whole posse's there. And they're shooting at him. So I guess you could do your countdown timer, Carl, and have everybody go. Similar
Right.
to like aces and eights,
Yep.
but something along that line. I guess you could throw a lot of fun things in there, like, few mythos in the background.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's really good. There's so many, and it really, you're right, it's most of the conversation between between Butch and Sundance. And I think they have a really good rapport. I think that's something. Like I said, it is a buddy. It's like a buddy Western movie, and they definitely have a good rapport. Like when you just keep thinking, Butch, that's what you're good at. That's what Henry Longbaugh tells him. It's really good.
There's the
When
funny
I say
part where they're
Bolivia,
gonna,
you just
where
think
they're,
California.
oh yeah, but there's the funny part where they're gonna jump off into the water and then he doesn't want to jump and he said, why? And he's like, because I can't swim. And he's like, don't worry, the fall's gonna kill you.
They'll never follow us. How do you know? Would you jump if you didn't have to? Exactly. Oh, and Amy did the morons quote. The morons quote. Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta love
Morons. I've
it.
got morons on my team. Yep. So yeah, so a lot of memorable quotes. It's kind of interesting. I mean, I think like a non-mythos skill-based Call of Cthulhu would work really well, using that system, but maybe not with mythos. Although maybe it could be fun to do a Butch and Sundance versus the Mythos mini scenario or convention type game, because I think it does work. It's closer to that 1920s period, really. Although there is like
Well,
a
Deadlands
down,
would work too.
yeah, there is a down darker trails. I know Deadly. Do you really see them as? I see them as not really super heroic. I mean, oh, that's not true. Longbaugh's a good shot. Butch Cassidy isn't really a good shot. Longbow's a very good shot.
Which
So,
Cassidy is the face?
yeah, that's true.
I mean, you got the enforcer and then you got the face. I think you could do it.
Yeah, that's true. You got the talker guy and the what is it? The stoic sidekick. So definitely like a good You could even do Detective Story with Butch and Sundance. What if in an alternate world that Butch and Sundance
Did go good.
work for a detective agency? So I don't know. It's a lot of fun possibilities, but definitely a good buddy cop, buddy Western type of feel. So any game that would promote that type of game, any game that would promote that type of feel would be a good game to run with this, in this sort of setting, as a
It's
homage to
a
Butch Cassidy and Sundance, I think.
definitely a really fun movie to watch. I remember seeing it the first time. I think I was a tween, but
Yeah.
I think that got me more interested in quote unquote Westerns. Although I did watch The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly with my parents.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
And it's worth it just to see the cinematography.
Yeah, sure. It was filmed like on location at Zion National Park, St. George, the old they actually used an old ghost town for the sort of hideout town that they headed out to. So which really interesting then. I guess we have a couple questions for people if they call in. So do you think Butch and Sundance died in that?
Well,
Or
they're
they were just
definitely dead now.
I know, but they died in that gunfire at the end. Could they have survived? And also, what buddy cop genre game, what rule set would you use for this sort of buddy Western, buddy cop genre, sort of
Yeah.
near at the end, the tail end of the Old West? What kind of game would you use to get this sort of buddy Western feel? I guess that's the question that I finally figured out. All right. You got anything else, Amy?
No, I think that's it. I mean, sprinkle in a little romance there too.
True, you could.
But I guess these are the ultimate bachelors because they both got left by
Yeah, that's true.
Edda.
That's true too. All right.
Right?
Well, I would out anything more to say, all we need say is
Good night
and
and
good
good rolling.
rolling.